4.04, is that some doctors and scientists somewhere discovered how to take a healthy human organ from one person's body and transplant it into another person whose organ is no longer able to function and support life. I'm thankful for that, because if it were not for that discovery, my son Nicholas would have died 23 years ago when he was 17 years old. But as it is, he's healthy now, and he's a husband and a father, and he's a nurse who takes care of other people and is just generally a kind and gentle and wonderful person. There's a lot of different organs that they've learned how to transplant. Nicholas needed a kidney, which is the most common type of transplant. Thousands and thousands of people get kidney transplants now every year. But to me, one of the most amazing kinds of transplants is a heart transplant. First of all, like every transplant, I guess, it's a matter of life and death when somebody needs a new heart. But unlike a kidney transplant, a new heart can only be received. A person's life can only be saved at the cost of another person's life. It's always that gift of life for life. And that is God's promise to us, as Helen just read. God promised that he would give us a new heart, not that muscle that circulates the blood in our body, but the heart that makes us human, the heart that we have that enables us to have compassion on the less fortunate, that helps us to feel the pain of other people who are suffering, that helps us sacrifice our own needs and desires for the needs of others. Our God is the great surgeon who promised us that he would remove our dead, cold heart of stone and replace it with a warm, living heart of flesh. Because the truth is, without this kind of transplant, we would all die. Indeed, we were all dead in our sins when Jesus came to be our donor. Paul wrote, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world along with the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." I think that we have all recognized the symptoms of spiritual heart failure in ourselves at one time or another, and we need to know that calling it spiritual doesn't make it any the less fatal. It's easy for us to get so overwhelmed by the need and the hurt in the world around us that we find ourselves, our reserves of compassion, kind of running on empty sometimes. It's easy when we see the suffering of another person to pass judgment on them and see the negligence or the foolishness that brought them to where they are, instead of realizing that, except for the grace of God, we might be in the same place. It's so often that our stony hearts are hardened by fear or by our insecurities or by our self-interest. It seems sometimes that they work overtime to guard us from being too merciful, from being too forgiving, from being too gracious. How often does it happen that somebody hurts us, or worse yet, hurts somebody that we love, and in our anger and our resentment and our bitterness, we harden our hearts against them, just like the hardest granite, so that even years later, when we've almost forgotten, we find ourselves crashing hopelessly against this unforgiveness that's so solid not even a chink of light can get through? Or how often do people harden their hearts against God himself when they suffer loss or injustice that just seems too hard to bear? We know that God is sovereign over the whole creation. Surely he could have healed this woman whose little children still needed their mom. Surely he could have stopped this unkind boss from making every day an exercise in frustration and embarrassment for his employee. Surely he could have sent his angels to protect the car of this one young man when he lost control of it, so his parents wouldn't have lost their only child. There's so many real situations that it's easy for our hearts to grow hard and for despair to flood in so that it cuts us off from the source of our life like a blocked artery. But God is able to help us in our need. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Just when we're on the brink of death, Jesus came into the world to save us from that heart failure that was killing us all. And he took on himself the burden of all our resentments and all our self-seeking and our fear and our hurt, all our bitterness and our coldness, all of our helplessness and our hopelessness. And he offered up his life so that in place of our cold, stony hearts, he could transplant into us, each one of us, his own warm heart of flesh, a heart of compassion and kindness and forgiveness and infinite love. So that when you belong to Jesus Christ, each one of us, it's no longer our hearts alone, but his heart as well that beats within us. And it continually floods us with his abundant and everlasting life and love. We are so healthy, so well. And that's the most wonderful hope for our future, because the heart that Jesus has given us won't ever stop beating. His life won't ever come to an end like this short earthly life that we're living. We proclaim it in the burial service. Whoever has faith in me shall have life even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. But it's also hope for us today, right now, because we've been sprinkled clean from all our uncleannesses and the waters of our baptism, because we've received this transplant of the new heart of Jesus Christ. We don't ever need to be hopeless and powerless in the face of our fears or our worries or our selfishness. We can still feel all those things, like that phantom pain that people feel when they have an arm or a leg amputated and they still feel those aches even though the limb is gone. We feel those pulls, but the heart of the risen Christ beats within each of us. And its power is stronger than any worldly power, stronger than anything inside us or outside us. And in the abundance of his life that flows in and through us, we have everything we need to live abundantly, every single minute of every day, from this day on. And the thing about a transplant is that it isn't just a matter of replacing a defective part, like you put a new alternator in your car. When Nicholas got sick, his kidneys had been failing for a long time, so slowly that we didn't even notice that he was getting sicker and sicker. And even though he was 17 years old, he was so small, he hadn't grown. He looked more like a 12 or 13 year old, maybe, in a lot of ways. As soon as that new kidney was there, his whole body began to grow and to change and to become what it should be. And it seemed like we could see him grow day by day. It was astounding, the change that it made. And that's the way it is with our new heart. Our whole selves are being transformed by Jesus, changed by the new life that we've been given, so that we are growing day by day. And I think it's very hard for us to see it in ourselves. It's easy to just think we're the same and we just don't ever change. And that's part of the reason why we're in the church, because I can see in you, and you can see in me, that growing of Christ's life in each one of us. And we need one another to see that growing life in each other. We can't see it in ourselves. And someday, as we keep on growing, we will be completely and perfectly what God created us to be. Amen.
Amen.